Please turn with me in your Bible then to Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 6 through 9. Deuteronomy 6, verses 6 through 9. Reading from God's holy word. And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and you shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. Let's pray. Holy Spirit, truth divine, dawn upon this soul of mine. Word of God and inward light, wake my spirit, clear my sight. May that be the prayer of each one of us this day, dear Heavenly Father, as we look at your holy word. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. As we gather this Lord's Day to dedicate the new Sunday school edition, it has profound significance because of the social and religious milieu, the culture in which we live. We live in a post-Christian America. In polls, the fastest growing category as to religious affiliation right now is nothing. It's over 20% and it's rising exponentially. 43% of Americans seldom or never attend church services. And that's especially true of the young people, the millennialists, those that are 20 to 30 years of age in their 20s and 30s. The American Bible Society says 20% of Americans say the Bible is a fable, 26% never read it, and 48% read the Bible only once or twice a year. But what is especially sad is that these liberal, secular trends are permeating even the evangelical professing churches. Current trends are Bible-less sermons, and no Sunday night worship services, no Wednesday night Bible study prayer times, and no Sunday school. The largest evangelical church in Wilmer has dropped Sunday school. Some professing churches have Sunday school for children only, not adults. Many professing churches have no Sunday school in the summer months. We just talked with a local Christian bookstore owner. I've known him for many years. And Roger told me he can't get Sunday school materials from the publishers anymore. Why? There's no demand for it. Sunday schools are fast disappearing because nobody wants to teach. They'd rather be at the lake. No wonder there's so little difference in lifestyle between professing Christians and outright secularists. Vance Havner once said, "The church today is so subnormal that if it ever got back to New Testament normal, it would seem to people as abnormal." People are undernourished spiritually. They do not know Jesus, and they're not becoming like him. 2 Peter 1, 3, and 4 answers what marks the Christian life in character, quality, and nature. First of all, it's to know God, verse 3, and secondly, to become like him, verse 4. According as his divine promise has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who has called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given to us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. The Christian life, its character, quality, and nature, is to know God and to become like him. Is it any wonder, with lack of Sunday school and lack of Bible emphasis today, that error is permeating the professing church? Spurgeon said, and you've heard it over this pulpit many times, if you don't know the Bible, it isn't long before everybody's right. What's our response here at Grace Baptist Church? We concur with Thomas Watson, the Puritan. Living fish swim against the stream. We'd rather be one with God and right than wrong with the crowd and going over the cliff with flags waving. Hebrews 10, 24 and 25, let us encourage one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. We are looking for Christ's second coming. We're not going to meet less. We're going to meet more. This summer, we built, by God's grace, a Sunday school edition. One now and more later, God willing. Sinclair Ferguson has a book devoted to God, Blueprints for Sanctification. In that book, he says this: there's a fascinating difference between Sunday morning and Sunday evening worship service. Even though the same number of people attend both, there's an extra in the evening service. One major factor is the cumulative effect of feeding on God's Word. Let me repeat that. One major effect is the cumulative effect of feeding on God's Word. Attendees are sanctified by the truth. Their lives are transformed through the renewing of the mind. And the more they are fed, the more they want to be fed and to feed. Friends, the same thoughts apply to Sunday school. Surely no young man in love with a young woman would be content to see her only 1 hour a week and always at the same time. The bottom issue is one of desire and ultimately the heart. 2 Thessalonians 2:10, they had not the love of the truth that they might be saved. That's what is said of unbelievers. Unbelievers do not love the Lord Jesus. They do not love His Word. We who say we're believers, Matthew 22:37, we're to love the Jesus with all our heart, soul, and mind, Matthew 22:37. Psalm 132:8, God says He's magnified, His Word is His name. If you love the Lord Jesus Christ, you love His Word. John Calvin says, you reverence God as you reverence His Word. You reverence His Word as you reverence God. You can't separate between the two. Don't tell me you love Jesus, but you don't love to hear His Word preached. Don't tell me you love Jesus, but you don't attend Wednesday night Bible study and prayer time. Don't tell me you love Jesus and you don't attend Sunday night worship service. Don't tell me you love Jesus and you don't go to Sunday school. Anybody who truly loves Jesus delights in His Word and wants to hear more and more. The only way we know Jesus is through the revelation, His revelation, the Word of God, the Bible. Those who attend Sunday school do so out of love for God and His Word and a strong desire to become more like Christ. Southern Baptist has the Lifeway publication. It's called 100, Charting a Course Past 100 in Sunday School. In that it says this: Sunday school attendance is a much more reliable gauge of spiritual growth and church health than church worship. Out of 100 people who attend worship and Sunday school, 80 are in the church 5 years later. Whereas those who attend the worship service only and not Sunday school, fewer than 20 are in the church 5 years later. Also, those who attend both the worship service and Sunday school give 6 times more to the Lord's work than those who attend the worship service only. Friends, true Christians have Sunday school in their bio. Follow along in the bulletin in the outline that's provided as we look at the sermon title today, Why a Sunday School Edition? The first point is the plan. Deuteronomy 6:1-3. Now this is the commandment, these are the statutes and judgments which the Lord your God has commanded to teach you, that you may observe them in the land which you are crossing over to possess, that you may fear the Lord your God to keep all his statutes and his commandments, which I command you and your son and your grandson all the days of your life, and that your days may be prolonged. Therefore, hear, O Israel, be careful to observe it, that it may be well with you, and that you may multiply greatly, as the Lord God of your fathers has promised you, a land flowing with milk and honey. God is a faithful God. That is, he will perform what he has promised. He is faithful to his word and his covenant. And as he was faithful to Israel and to his covenant with Israel, so he's faithful to his church. 1 Thessalonians 5:24. Faithful is he who called you, who also will do it. 2 Timothy 2:13. If we are faithless, he remains faithful. He cannot deny himself. It has been said that Sunday school has two rails. One rail is numerical growth. Grace Baptist Church is growing numerically, and especially so with the little ones. Did you notice in the adult choir how many little ones managed to be held in their parents' arms? We had 9 births last year. We've had 9 this year and counting. Practically, that demands more space. For the Israel of Deuteronomy 6 who came out of Egypt, God had a tabernacle erected in Exodus 25 and following for their corporate worship. And it was very detailed plans from God. That was to be a place where the omnipresent God would choose specifically to be present. You know, I'm guilty of it as anybody else. A lot of times we speak of, well, I'm going to church. Well, more accurately, we should say with the Puritans, I'm going to church meeting place. Historically, each Jewish community in the time of Jesus Christ, if there were 10 male heads of households, they formed a synagogue, which was where they met for their worship of God and to conduct religious affairs and also community affairs. In Matthew 18:20, Jesus says, where 2 or 3 are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst. The true church is composed of those who are born again. The focal text is John 3:1-21. You have a principle of new life in you. The disposition of the soul is made holy, and the soul believes in Jesus. That's something only God and his Holy Spirit can do. Wherever 2 or 3 of those people are gathered together, there is the church. Augustine spoke of it as visible and invisible church, the professing church and the possessing church, or the tares and the wheat, as it says in Matthew 13:25-26. The church is both organism, that deals with heart issues, it's also organization. And the organism, to function properly, also needs organization. 1 Corinthians 14:33, God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all the churches. The organization needs rules, a constitution, bylaws, and it needs space for worship and to conduct kingdom business. So to meet those increased numerical needs in 2016, with the help of Al Sheldon, retired architect, and with Carpenters for Christ from St. Charles, Missouri, donating their labor, we built a sanctuary. And also with the help of many local subcontractors and church attendees. And now, in 2017, we planned and built the Sunday school addition, those same people helping out. Currently, in Sunday school, we have over 80 attending, over 80 in attendance, mainly youth. And you know the great thing about the youth? They invite their friends, much more so than adults for some reason. But it has been said that 92% of church attendees do so because of friends in a church. Lifeway's publication, again, 100, says the average number of worship attendees to Sunday school is 3 to 2. So if 150 attend worship, 100 are in Sunday school. And at Grace Baptist, that gap is lower, and that's because of the children. The plans to build that Sunday school addition came about by God's sovereign grace. And you know what happened? We're $40,000 under budget. God is good. God is good. Psalm 127:1, except the Lord build a house, they labor in vain who build it. Proverbs 16:9, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delights in his way. Man's heart devises his way, but the Lord directs his steps. Proverbs 16:9. James 4:13, 14, and 15. Come now, you say, let's go to such a city, buy and sell and spend a year there and make a profit. Well, we can paraphrase that. Come now, you say, let's build a Sunday school edition. Well, you don't know what's going to be on tomorrow. For what is your life? It's even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. For that you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we will live and do this or that. Colossians 1:17, he's before all things, and by him all things consist. So the plan design was for function, to meet existing organization numerical needs. It was not for glitz, to bring glory to man or the pastors of this church or this church body. God forbid, if that is in any way the thinking, let's all get axes right now, let's go hire some bulldozers, and let's demolish the building. God forbid that we should glory except in his cross, Galatians 6:14, and grace and mercy to us as his church in enabling us to further the gospel of saving faith in Jesus. Matthew 16:18, Jesus says, I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. 1 Corinthians 10:31, whether you eat or drink, do all to the glory of God. Romans 11:36, of him, through him, and to him are all things. To him be glory forever and ever. Amen. In the world's eyes, this is nothing. But in God's eyes, it's beautiful. And all to promote his name. 1 Samuel 2:30, those who honor me, God says, I will honor. And those who esteem me lightly, I'll esteem lightly. Why a Sunday school edition? The first point is the plan. The second point is the purpose. The purpose. The Sunday school has two rails. The first is numerical, but the second is spiritual growth. As you look in the distance at two parallel railroad tracks, the rails, they seem to merge. And that's our desire at Grace Baptist, that those who attend here are biblically educated and they grow spiritually. Our Bible text says that education, and we're focusing on Christian education, but they said here it's threefold. In Deuteronomy 6, it's a family task, it's a spiritual task, and it's a goal-oriented task. First of all, it's a family task. Look at verse 2. That you may fear the Lord your God to keep all his statutes, his commandments, which I command you, you and your son, your grandson, all the days of your life, that your days may be prolonged. Look at verse 7. You shall teach them diligently to your children, talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. Look at verse 20. When your son asks you in time to come, saying, what is the meaning of the testimonies, the statutes, the judgments your Lord your God has commanded you, then you answer him. Verse 21 and following. And then look at verse 9. You'll write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. I want you to take particular note of the walls of the sanctuary here. Also all the hallways, the walls, the Sunday school edition, the hallway, what's on the walls, and in the rooms. It's Scripture. Points us to God. We need reminders all over. And if any place should be permeated with God's Word, it's His meeting place and Sunday school. And I want you to know particularly the doctrines of grace on the wall in the Sunday school edition. Doctrines of grace, the five solas of the Reformation, Christ alone, faith alone, grace alone, Scripture alone, to the glory of God alone, the tulip, total depravity, unconditional election, limited atonement, irresistible grace, perseverance of the saints, and then the two pillars of the gospel, the crucifixion of Christ, which is that victory over sin, and the resurrection of Christ, the victory over death. There is no gospel without those two pillars. But those three things constitute the doctrines of grace. Those are the core doctrines of this church. They are the central doctrines in all of Bible. They are the ones that give the most glory to God. They represent 1 Corinthians 15:3 that Paul says, I delivered to you first of all. And those are the things that we stand for. We will not compromise. We will shed our blood and die to uphold those doctrines. And we swim against the stream. We are the only church in this whole Wilmer area that consistently preaches and teaches those doctrines. God helping us. There we stand. Take particular note of what is on the walls. Secondly, it's a spiritual task. Verses 5 and 6, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, your soul, your strength, and these words which I command you this day shall be in your heart. Did you know that that command was given in Israel to those who would be teaching the truths of God to the next generation? Friends, the spiritual condition of Sunday school teachers is not a matter of indifference. D.L. Moody ended up in Boston. He ended up living with his two uncles. And his uncles ran the shoe store in Boston. And they said, D.L., you can come here and work here on one condition. You have to attend Sunday school and church services. And D.L. said, okay. He went to church. The pastor took him to Ed Kimball's Sunday school class. And Ed Kimball was teaching from the Gospel according to John chapter 10 and the Good Shepherd. He took D.L. under his wing. His English was terrible. But those two knit together. And one day Ed Campbell went over to the shoe store of Uncle Samuel. And he went in the back room and he found D.L. and he put his hand on his shoulder. He told him the Good Shepherd came to give his life for his sheep, to shed his blood so that you and I, D.L., as sinners, could have forgiveness of sins. And before Ed Kimball left that day, D.L. was saved. Now, nobody knows Ed Kimball on this earth, basically, but in heaven, everybody knows him because he was God's instrument that led D.L. Moody to saving faith. And in 40 years, D.L. Moody of evangelism preached to over 50 million people. In 40 years of evangelistic work. And God used Ed Kimball to lead D.L. Moody to saving faith in Jesus. D.L. Moody ended up leaving Boston. He went to inner city Chicago, and he went to what was called the Sands. Everybody knew that as little hell. Nobody wanted to go there. There was so much sin there. D.L. says it's ripe for the gospel. He started a Sunday school there, kept expanding, expanding, expanding. The story is told of one little boy who attended that Sunday school. His parents moved to another part of the city. But he still walked to that same Sunday school, even though it was a long walk and he passed a lot of other Sunday schools on the way. And a friend asked him why he went so far when there were other Sunday schools closer to home. And he replied, because they love a fellow over there. Because they love a fellow over there. Friends, we have such Sunday school teachers here at Grace Baptist, and I thank God every day for them. Jesus said, Mark 10:14, suffer the little children to come unto me and forbid them not, for as such is the kingdom of God. Please pray for our Sunday school teachers, and also pray that we get more workers. We need more workers for the children. We need more people that love Jesus, love his word, and have a heart for missions. We wait on God. As Hudson Taylor said, depend upon it, God's work done in God's way will never lack God's supply. Did you know historically, friends, the Sunday school movement began in the time of George Whitefield and Wilberforce in the middle of the 18th century and early 19th century in England to promote literacy? I thank God for our ESL and our Corinne school. We teach literacy in English and in Corinne. And what's the basis for both of them? We use the Bible. we use the Bible, praise God. The Sunday school movement also for mass education and evangelism among children. Did you know that more than 80% of all conversions occur by age 18? D.L. Moody once reported when he returned from a meeting that he'd seen 2.5 conversions. He was asked, did that mean 2 adults and 1 child? No, he replied, I mean 2 children and 1 adult. The adult's life was already half over. The children had their whole lives still before them to be lived for God. Ephesians 6:4, bring your children up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. I was saddened. A week ago, we had somebody that wanted to come to Sunday school. And I picked him up and then went to check on an older sibling. And the older sibling wasn't going to Sunday school. And because the older sibling wasn't going to Sunday school, the father prevented the younger one from going to Sunday school also. That father, if that continues, has God's judgment on him. The father is responsible as the spiritual head of the house, 1 Corinthians 11:3, for the spirituality of his wife, Ephesians 5, 25 to 27, and also for the spirituality of his children, Ephesians 6, 1 through 4. Parents need to set the example for their children and attend Sunday school with their children. There's an old saying, precept begins, but example accomplishes. Parents, it's just worthless to say, do as I say, but not as I do. The children are watching what you do. And that's the most important thing. Set the example and lead spiritually, especially the fathers. Spurgeon, the prince of preachers, said that he benefited immensely spiritually as a child in Sunday school under the instruction of Sunday school teachers. That's true of my life also. I can remember Billy Oakley teaching third grade Sunday school. I can remember fourth grade, Mike Warburg, faithfully teaching Sunday school. Spurgeon said he always operated under the principle the best way to influence the future was to guide the young. Ever since the Corinne youth have showed up here in 2012, my wife and I have said repeatedly, we pour our lives into these young people because that's the future of the church if God tarries. Jesus tarries. The young people are the future leaders of the church. We want them grounded in Bible truths and doctrines. Thirdly, the education is goal-oriented. It's goal-oriented. Parents, you've heard me say before, and I encourage you, you should put it up on a wall in your house. Put it on your wall of your house. Your goal as a parent is 3 John verse 4. 3 John verse 4, I have no greater joy than my children walk in truth. That is your God-given task in life. He has given you children first and foremost. You minister to them. You bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord that they love Jesus. They put faith in him for forgiveness of sins, and they live to make Jesus known. That's the goal here in Sunday school. We have no greater joy than every child that attends here walk in truth, that they love Jesus. They have Jesus, put faith in him, forgiveness of sins, and they want to live for Jesus. You'll see here in verse 2, you are to obey God's commandments. Why? That you may fear the Lord your God. 3 times that's repeated, verse 13 and 24. 3 times, raised to the highest of emphasis. What is fearing God? It's the controlling sense of the majesty of God and the profound reverence which such an apprehension elicits. John Murray says, fear of God is the soul of godliness. Well, what is godliness? Godliness is perfect harmony between the precepts and your practice, between doctrine and duty, between what you know and what you do. And you need both to evidence that the truth in your heart is truly there. It's real. That's why at Grace Baptist we use Desiring God Sunday School curriculum. Most of the Sunday School curriculum that is out there today, when the kids get done, children get done with the lesson, it says, what does this teach you to do? Oh, it teaches me to be kind. It teaches me to share. It teaches me to be good to my friends, etc., etc. Desiring God Sunday School curriculum has it right. The first question it asks is, what does this teach us about God? It puts the emphasis where the emphasis should be. In short, and in our families and in Sunday school, we educate to help our children know the glory of God. Isaiah 43:7, even everyone that is called by my name, for I've created for my glory, I formed him, I made him. What's the glory of God? It's the outshining of his internal being. It's the manifestation of the character of God, his attributes, as revealed in Scripture. That's the only way we know God is through Scripture, his revelation to us. The Westminster Shorter Catechism has it right. The very first question is, what is the duty of man? The duty of man is to glorify God and enjoy him forever. Glorify God and enjoy him forever. Spurgeon began serving Christ in his teens as a Sunday school teacher at Andrews Baptist Church in Cambridge. He was saddened even then by the many Christians that did not take Sunday school seriously as to attendance and desire to be a teacher. Here's what he said about Sunday school teachers. A Sunday school teacher has earned a good degree. I had rather receive the title SST, Sunday school teacher, I had rather receive the title SST than MA or BA or any other honor that was ever conferred to men. Why a Sunday school edition? The first point is the plan, the second is the purpose, the third is the praise. Deuteronomy 6:5-7, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, strength. These words which I command you today shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children. Talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, when you rise up. Friends, if you haven't gathered from this sermon, you can gather it now. The Christian life is serious business. It's serious business. It's always a matter of life and death. And what goes on within these walls should always reflect that biblical truth. It is to be a consuming matter. It's to be the number one priority in our life. And if we truly love the Lord, that'll be true in our homes, and it'll be true in our church meeting place, this sanctuary, and in the Sunday school. And when this service is over and you tour that new Sunday school edition, focus on the scriptures on the walls and the pictures and what's going to take place in there by the moving of God's Spirit within those walls as to Christian education in proclaiming the gospel message. And we covet your prayers for the mission work at Grace Baptist. Michael Horton, in his book Christless Christianity, said this: the mission without the marks, and the marks is the Bible truths, the doctrine. The mission without the marks is blind. And the marks without the mission is dead. Pray that we do not drift away, Hebrews 2:1. Pray that we do not become sluggish, Hebrews 6:12. That we persevere in the ministry we have received from God. I have on my study wall 2 Corinthians 4:1. You know when that verse went on the wall? The fall of 2012, when God sent 5 Corinthian children here where there were no children before. Since you have this ministry, as you've received mercy, do not faint. Since you have this ministry, as you've received mercy, do not faint. Pray also that we at Grace Baptist always keep our eyes fixed on Jesus. Hebrews 12:1-2. Therefore we also, surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with endurance the race that's before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of God. Look to Jesus. That means in the Greek, look away from everything else. Fix your eyes on Him. We dedicate this Sunday school edition to making Jesus known and the furtherance of His kingdom. Hebrews 6:12, this we will do, God permitting. John 15:5, Jesus says, I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, the same brings forth much fruit. Without me, you can do nothing. 2 Corinthians 3:5, not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything as of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God. 1 Corinthians 3:6, Paul says, I planted, Apollos watered, but God is the one who gives the increase. And Luke 1:37, nothing is impossible with God. The family of God here knows that it's not the mechanics that really matter, but it's the ultimate aim and the object that counts. To God be the glory. Great things He has done. Psalm 50:23. God says, whoever offers praise glorifies me, and to him who orders his conduct aright, I will show the salvation of God. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, this is a great day. Thank you for your presence here and your Spirit brooding over us and working in us. We pray, Dear Heavenly Father, that these truths would be planted in our hearts, that you would water it, that it would grow, that it would bear fruit for your kingdom. And I pray, Dear Heavenly Father, you would keep by your Spirit, your grace and mercy, this church body growing in Jesus, that we would see a moving of your Spirit, a conviction of sin, many turning to saving faith in Jesus. Those that are saved would be more and more sanctified. We'd see an increase in knowledge and discernment and wisdom. And most of all, dear Heavenly Father, we'd see your kingdom work, your mission work go forward. Use this sanctuary, use the Sunday school edition to that end. To God be the glory, great things we have done. We pray this in Jesus' name, amen.